to someone right now.
What is happening today is beautiful in the eyes of God. Amen?
Amen.
This is an answer to Jesus' prayer just before he went to the cross. One of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, John chapter 17. Listen to what it says. Jesus says to us, he says to us, this generation today and all generations after him, he says, I've given them the glory that you gave me that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. There are two beautiful things happening today right now. We are representing unity in the body in the church of Jesus Christ. We are one together. We're going to worship. God's going to receive our praises. He's going to be delighted with what we do today. But the other thing that's going to happen is the world, what does it say? The world is going to know that you sent me, Jesus says, and have loved them even as you have loved me. We are a testimony to the community. There are no walls here. We're going to sing so other people hear. We're singing to God first, but we want the world to know. We love Jesus, and he loves us, and he loves them. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing by the awesome, awesome God we serve. Rise to your feet. Worthy. God is an awesome God. God is great. Give him all the praise. Hallelujah. Name above all names. Fire in his eyes. Healing in his veins. Everywhere his glory on display. Take a look at the stars. He can name them all. Before his throne, every knee falls. The demons have to run. The angels have to praise. Even the wind and the waves obey.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Our God
is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Even when I ran, away. He came and put death back in its place. Friday on a cross, broken for my shame. Sunday morning rose up from that grave. Take a look at the scars on his hands and feet. He saved our souls for eternity. Worthy is the Lamb, glory to the King.
Oh,
let all the saints and the angels sing.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Awesome.
an oldie. Come on.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Sing that again.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Love to sing your praises.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save. To show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth. Cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. Grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord.
Jesus, we cry out to you together, one voice, filling this bandshell. God, thank you that seven churches are willing to come together, close their doors for the morning, and come together to lift our voices up to you. You are truly worthy. You're the only one worthy of our worship. God, may we not be like some of the folks in the Old Testament times, continually drifting to other gods, other idols, other things we worship. God, you are the only one worthy, and we have lifted our voices and our hearts up to you. Lord, receive that as a sweet aroma to you. We love you. We thank you that we can do this together. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Now, you're used to sitting down right now. We're not going to do that right now. Thank you, those of you who stayed up. And I know we've been standing already for a little bit, but we have a little bit of an intermission right now. We're going to let the kids head out to their classes. There's three different options. 0 to 3, not potty trained, are going to head to the scooter building. 3 to 5 can also head to the scooter building, whether they're potty trained or not. I think they have to be potty trained for that. But scooter building for that, and then 6 through 10-ish, are going to head over to the pavilion across from the playground, right? Youngest kids over here, scooter. Older kids to the pavilion over there. And we have a question of the day, but it's not on the screen, so you have to listen to me, and I have to look at it. Hold on. This is related to what we were just singing about, right? What do you think is the first thing you'll do when you get to heaven? Share that with somebody near you. What's the first thing you're going to do when you get to heaven? And we'll be back in just a minute.
We're letting the parents finish off a little bit here, and then we'll be moving on in just a second. For all of you parents who dropped children, regardless of what age they are, at any of the venues we have for ministry to them, if you did not leave your name and telephone number with the attendants there, it's something you need to do. So if you forgot that or didn't know that, you might want to scoot back up there real quick and take care of that. Otherwise, we're ready to move on. It's been great, hasn't it? Oh, my goodness, I want to thank all of the worship team. You sounded great, but more importantly, you came off with the right heart, right? Because worship is not how good the music is, it's where your heart is. And worship is your opportunity to show God your heart, because he's already shown you his heart in sending Jesus to that cross for you. Praise the Lord. It is my distinct pleasure this morning to introduce to you our message maker. I have been so impressed with him over the last few years that I've gotten a chance to know him. He's done wonderful things for me, like visiting me in the hospital when I was the last thing I expected. Nate has done that as well. Just a fantastic brother in the Lord, very active in the community, doing everything he possibly can to be a positive witness for Jesus Christ. And boy, that is something I just truly respect. So without any further ado, let's welcome Drew Touche to the pulpit this morning.
Well, hey, everybody. This is awesome. Looking out, it's just kind of a glimpse of what we were just singing about. This is what heaven is going to look like, right? Whew, I'm humming a little bit. So first of all, let me say to you, good morning, church. And I say that very intentionally. I didn't say good morning, churches, right? I said good morning, church, because from God's perspective, this is one church, right? In Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul talks about that there is one body, and there is one spirit, and there's one faith, and one baptism, and one Lord who is over it all. And so someday when we all get to heaven, we're not going to gather in our little local churches. We're going to be the church. We're going to be together with Christ for all of eternity, and that's an exciting thing. Now, there is reason for local churches. In the book of Titus, Paul commands that elders be appointed in every town so that the word of God can spread out. It's a strategy thing. And so it's good that we are in all these different communities and making Christ known. So it's a good thing that we are seven churches here this morning. But really, ultimately, in God's sight, we are one. And that is a beautiful thing that we can celebrate because we're doing the same thing and we have the same mission. Now, how I came to be here this morning is a really interesting story. We brought our church out to Church in the Park last year, and unfortunately, it kind of fell the same week that we had our vacation plans, and so I was not here. Now, how many of you know that it's a dangerous thing to not be here when there's a meeting going on or there's something happening? That's when stuff happens, right? I mean, you miss a board meeting, you come back, you're in charge of a committee. And that's kind of what happened in this case. I came back from vacation and I said to some of my people, hey, how did the service go at the park? And they said, it was great. And by the way, you're preaching next time. And so I haven't had regular bowel movements in a year. But I wonder this morning, if you are like me, have you ever struggled with the idea that God has called you personally to participate in a mission that is going to change the world? Like, do you see yourself as part of that activity that God is doing to win this world to Christ? Maybe you're like me, when God first called me to have a role and to do something, and I thought to myself, me? Who am I? I'm nobody special, right? How does God think I'm gonna be able to change the world? Have you ever felt like this? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking, well, I don't have great social skills. I'm not a dynamic and persuasive speaker. Maybe you don't have amazing connections and powerful friends. Why would God call you to go and make disciples of all nations? And yet, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, I want to assure you of two things. First of all, he has called you to be a part of this great mission, to make disciples wherever you go. And not only that, but the second thing is I want to assure you that God has given you everything you need in order to complete the task. Believe it or not, you are not the first person that has ever doubted their own ability to do what God has called them to do. In fact, if you have your Bibles today, we're going to turn to Exodus chapter 3, and we're going to see a story where God calls a man named Moses to a great mission to rescue an entire nation and lead them to trust in God for the rest of their lives. And Moses didn't think he could do it. He said, God, who am I? Pick somebody else. Pick somebody better. It shouldn't be hard, right? I don't know how to talk to people. And by the way, God, I've done some bad stuff in my life. Maybe you're aware of this. I don't think I'm cut out for this job. But God told Moses something on that day. And we're going to study that passage in just a moment. But God is going to use the life of Moses to do some amazing things, to rescue the nation of Israel out of Egypt. And by the way, pointing to something even greater, a much greater rescue mission that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, would come and perform. Right? The story of Moses is really telling the story of Jesus. Just like our lives and our stories are to be telling the story of Jesus. Right? It's all tied together here. And so we're going to see this morning. We're going to see that God is going to take us through this process. But in order to do this, God must first capture the heart of Moses. And he must cause Moses to understand who God is before he can send Moses out with a new purpose and a new mission. And I want to suggest to you this morning, God takes us through a very similar process. He transforms our lives from who we once were, and he gives us this new mission as a new creation in Christ. So turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to study verses 1 through 10 today, and we're just going to look at verses 1 through 3 to begin with. This is the word of the Lord, Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. So we see in these first three verses that God is revealing himself to Moses in a compelling sort of way, right? There's a bush that's on fire, and yet it's not turning into ash and disappearing. It continues to maintain its structural integrity. It continues to be a bush, even though it is on fire. And Moses is looking at this, and he says, well, this is weird. This is not how it's supposed to go. It catches his attention, right? He's not yet falling on his face and saying, God, you're amazing. Like, that's not where he is yet. He's just looking at this, and he's saying, wow, this is really compelling. It completely ensnares his attention. Now, in this moment, as he sees the burning bush, Moses is not thinking about what he's going to have for lunch a little bit later, right? He's not thinking, now would be a good time for me to go and take a head count of the sheep and make sure I got everybody. In this moment, the only thing that he's thinking about is this burning bush. And he is filled with wonder. How can such a thing be? I need to go over there and see this for myself. And in that moment, God reveals himself to Moses. Now, we'll get there in just a moment. But first, I want to ask you, have you ever had a burning bush moment in your life where God really just kind of captured your attention and showed you something about himself that you said, wow, this is the most important thing in the world right now. This is where my attention needs to be. Can you remember that moment? Chances are it did not involve fire or a bush of any kind. Now, if you're a guy, maybe there was fire involved, but probably no bush, right? But it was compelling nonetheless. Somehow, some way, God caught your attention, and he filled you with wonder. Now, my burning bush moment occurred when I was in the seventh grade, and I was at our church's winter retreat, a thing that I had been to before. But I remember on this one night, a guy came out and he was playing the keyboard and he was singing this old Michael W. Smith song, Place in This World. And that night, for some reason, my heart was just open to the things of God. My whole life began to change on this night. And I don't remember the speaker when he came out. I just remember it was a guy, but I don't remember his name. I don't remember his face. I probably couldn't pick him out of a lineup today. But he was not the object of my awe and wonder. It was the fact that he was speaking about Jesus. And on this night, I saw Jesus in a new light. It was almost like these blinders fell away from my eyes, and all of a sudden I could see it clearly, this great story that I had heard so many times before. All of a sudden, it made perfect sense to me that I was a sinner, and I needed a Savior. And God sent his son Jesus to die on the cross to pay the penalty for my sin. And that was the only thing that mattered in that moment. And when he was finished speaking, my answer was, yes, Jesus, here I come. You've got my attention. I see this thing. I need to walk in your direction. I need to find out what this is all about. It was like a burning bush. Jesus had my full attention, and I was drawn to him in that moment. And my life was about to change forever. So do you remember your burning bush moment? When Jesus became the only thing that mattered in that moment, everything else kind of faded away. I want to encourage you this morning with something that is so simple that we very often forget this. Don't ever lose the wonder of following this amazing God. It is still an amazing thing that God makes himself known to us, that we can follow him. Be amazed by who he is. He is truly the God of all creation. And here we sit this morning in this beautiful place, looking out at this park and all the trees and the things that God has made. God is in charge of all of this. He is the God over all the universe. The book of Psalms says that God measures the universe in the span of his fingers. He says, that's a cute little universe right there. I'm glad I made that one. And to us, it's like we can't build a telescope big enough. It's amazing. And be amazed that this is the same God who left his heavenly glory to die on a cross so that you can be forgiven and restored into right relationship with him. Be amazed this morning that God wants you. Not just humanity in general. He wants you as an individual. He knows you by name. He sees you. He knows every hair on your head or lack thereof, right? Whatever it may be, he knows you and he loves you and he wants you. Be amazed by that, that this is the God who loves us so much that he actually breaks into our mundane everyday lives and provides this burning bush experience to capture our hearts and change our lives forever. This is a God who draws us to himself and fills us with wonder as he takes away those blinders and helps us to see him. And maybe you're here this morning, that hasn't happened for you yet. Maybe you're here and you're saying, I've still got questions, I'm still trying to figure some things out, that's okay. But if that's the case, my prayer for you is that perhaps today would be the day that God would show himself to you clearly, that you would see him for who he is, and that you would begin this amazing journey of following this incredible God. He will change your whole life. But if you're here and you've already had that burning bush moment, do you remember that? Do you remember the wonder and the awe that filled your heart in that moment? My encouragement to you this morning is don't lose that wonder. What a privilege it is that we get to follow this amazing God. Well, there's a bit more to the story. So let's go ahead and look at verses 4-6. We've seen the moment of wonder. Now we're going to look at the moment of understanding. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Now, I want you to see from this passage that wonder is only one of the things involved in God's drawing us to him. Sometimes we have an amazing encounter with God. We have this great experience, and that's kind of where we stop. We think, wow, God is really amazing. It's great that he created all this stuff. Wow, like he's a big God. But we don't ever make it personal to the point of saying, I know this God. I know his heart for me. I know who he is. I know what he's doing in this world, and I want to be a part of it, right? Sometimes it's enough for us just to know about God, just to know the stories, but we don't take it personally. And verses 4-6 show us something, that wonder is a start, but understanding must eventually happen, right? That is the goal of the wonder, is that we would draw close enough to God that we would understand who he is and what his great purpose is in this world. And so we see Moses captivated by this incredible sight. In that moment, he doesn't understand who God is yet, right? He has no idea who he is walking towards, but he sees this bush that's not burning up, and he says, I got to go over there and see this thing. And he starts walking in that direction. And perhaps he's even a bit careless in his approach because he does not yet understand who it is that he is approaching. Now, God quickly sets him straight, doesn't he? He says, Moses, don't come any closer. Take your sandals off. You are standing on holy ground. Why is that ground holy? Is it something to do with the bush? Is it something to do with that particular stretch of wilderness where he brought his flock? No. The ground is holy because I am the God of your fathers and I am here in your presence, right? I am in this bush right now speaking to you. That's what makes the ground holy. And all of a sudden, Moses understands. In that moment of realization that I'm speaking with the God of my fathers. This is the one that I've heard about all my life, yet never encountered in a personal way. And here he is speaking to me. And Moses recognizes that he is a sinful man and that he is standing in the presence of a perfect and holy God. Can you remember the moment in your life when you became aware of your own sinfulness and God's holiness? It hit me on that seventh grade retreat as the speaker was going through the gospel message for probably the 100th time in my life. Like, it wasn't a lack of knowing the words. I probably could have gotten up there and told the story myself, right? That's how well I was familiar with it. And yet on that night, for whatever reason, it broke through my heart that I was a sinner and I needed a savior. That Jesus died on the cross, not just for the sin of the world, but he died on the cross to bear my sin. This became personal to me. He was on that cross because of me. And my sin grieved me in a way that it never had before. I wonder this morning if you can remember a moment like that in your own life, where your sinfulness just grieved you because you have a good and loving and holy God. You know, we all have those moments when we realize that we are standing on holy ground, that God is perfect and we are not, that we are in his debt, and yet he loved us so much that he sent Jesus so that we can be with him. And maybe you can remember that moment. But a funny thing tends to happen to us as human beings, right? This is just from experience, it's from hearing other people's stories, but the reality is that very often what happens is we have a way of forgetting that we are standing on holy ground. We started out there, and we were grieved by our sin, and we said, God, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to make this better. I want my life to be transformed. And we start there, but we have a way of, over time, just kind of making peace with our sin and becoming less and less grieved by it. Maybe you can remember that also. I want to suggest something that's going to sound a little bit strange this morning, but one of the greatest dangers that we face as human beings may actually be success. I don't know what you're thinking. Did you say that right, Pastor? That didn't sound quite right to me. One of the greatest dangers we face in this life may be success. See, we're all pretty good at bouncing back from failure. We've got a lot of experience with that, right? But how do you bounce back from success? You know, from God's perspective, how do we recover from that? I'm just going to be honest with you. For myself, as a pastor and as a leader in Christ Church, the most dangerous thing in the world to me is that I can actually get good at this. What a danger that is. Do you hear what I'm saying? I know from experience that if I can just do A, B, and C and do a pretty decent job of it, I can build a really decent ministry. People from around the community will look at it and say, well, that's a pretty good church right there. They're doing some decent stuff. And I just want you to know that that is so dangerous, that it's possible for us to accomplish that in and of ourselves, through our own effort, forgetting that we are standing on holy ground. Now take a moment and think about your own life. I'm willing to bet that there are things in your life that you are getting pretty good at. And because you do these things well, and because they seem to be succeeding, at least in the world's eyes, you and I can make the mistake of assuming that God is blessing us and these things because they're successful, right? We can think, hey, God is clearly in this because it's working. And here's the next step in the logic, right? If God is blessing these things that we are doing, then our sin must not actually be that big of a deal, because God's still blessing us and it's still working and we're still getting the job done. Do you see what's happening here? We slowly lose sight of the fact that we are standing on holy ground. And the sin that once grieved us is now just part of the landscape. It's just part of our life because, hey, God is still blessing me, so it must be okay. But here's a newsflash that we all need to be alerted to this morning. We are still standing on holy ground. And I believe that with all my heart. If we have trusted in Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Right? That's the good news of the gospel. But how many of you know that's only half of the gospel? Right? We are forgiven of our sins through faith in Christ. We are saved from our sin. But there's another half of the story. Not only are we saved from our sin, but we are also saved for a purpose. God has a purpose for our lives. Our entire lives are to be transformed so that God might use us to make disciples of all nations. And if that is the only thing that you remember and take home with you from this message today, then this has already been time well spent. Yes, we need Jesus every moment of every day, and we can never afford to take our eyes off of him. Prosperity is a danger. This is what Moses says in Deuteronomy 6, verses 10 through 12, as the people are about to enter the promised land. They're literally standing on the banks of the Jordan River. They're getting ready for Joshua to lead them across into the promised land. And Moses is not going with them. And so this is his farewell address to the nation. And he warns them of this danger of success in Deuteronomy 6, 10 through 12. This is what Moses says. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not paint, then when you eat and are satisfied, catch this, church, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. See, Moses has learned something in all of his years following after the Lord. He's learned that prosperity can actually be a threat. That if things are going too well in our lives and we've got everything under control, we forget that we actually need God. And we start to rest on our own strength. And if we are not careful, our own success can lead us to forget God, to forget that we are standing on holy ground. And so Moses warns Israel before they ever even enter the promised land, before they even come into this prosperity, he says, be careful that you do not forget the Lord. And what did they do? They forgot the Lord. Well, let's look at verses 7 through 10. There's one more moment that I want to zero in on here. We've seen the moment of wonder. We've seen the moment of understanding. Now we have the moment of purpose. Verses 7 through 10. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way that the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, if you are a follower of Christ for any length of time, I imagine that you have had not only a moment of wonder, but a moment of understanding. You've seen your sin for what it is, and you've said, God, I need you to change my life. I want to follow you. You've been floored by God's holiness and your own sinfulness. You've recognized that you are standing on holy ground and that change must happen in your life. And that's good, that's important, that's certainly part of what God is calling us to, but I want you to see from this passage that holiness is not the only goal. It certainly is a goal, right, that we would live in such a way that the world would look at us and say, wow, there's something there, but there's a little bit more. God has an even more incredible thing that he desires to do in you, but the truth is that we will never see those things if we rest on our own ability to create the illusion of success. If we trust in ourselves rather than Christ, we will never get to this last piece. We will only see that when we recognize that we are standing on holy ground and that we need Jesus every moment of our lives. So God draws us with these burning bush moments. He floors us when we recognize that we are standing on holy ground. But all of this leads to this moment of purpose where God sends us to be his people. Right, that's the idea here. Look at verse 7. We see the heart of God in verse 7. He is a God who desires to rescue us from our distress, from our trouble, from our sinfulness. He's a God who rescues. And not only you and I, but he's a God who desires to rescue the people around us. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life. He's looking to the world and saying, I want to rescue them all. That's the divine mission. And he uses human agents to accomplish this. What an incredible thought that God uses fallen people like Moses and David and you and me to accomplish his mission. Now, verse 8 tells us that God has good purposes for his people. His desire is to lead them into the promised land, this land flowing with milk and honey where they will achieve prosperity and where they're ultimately going to forget about him. But God has good purposes for his people. But don't mistake good purposes for an easy life. And I'm saying that to you and I also, right? God has good purposes for us, but don't mistake that for an easy life. Remember that the promised land is full of Canaanites and Hivites and Jebusites and Amorites and all these ites, right? There's a lot of temptation in this land to walk away from God and do things your own way. That's what God is saying. There's a temptation around every corner, and we cannot afford to fall prey to our own success and prosperity. We still need Jesus every single moment because we are still standing on holy ground. Now, verse 10 details God's mission for Moses. He's going to go and rescue the nation of Israel and lead them out of Egypt. That's a pretty amazing mission, would you agree? Now, God has a mission for you also, and it may not be that he's going to send you to rescue anybody out of Egypt, but he is sending you just the same. And the mission that he has for us is to go and make disciples of all nations. Does that sound big? Does that sound like something harder than what you can accomplish in your own strength? I hope so, because it's not intended to be done by us alone. But understand that God is sending you. And by the way, understand that sentness does not necessarily mean going far away. It can mean that, right? But sometimes it's about your identity. Sometimes go really means stay and minister to the people that God has put around you. Sometimes God is just sending us to the people in our own community, and sometimes he may send us to the other hemisphere, right? That's how God works. But either way, we have to understand that just because maybe I'm not sent to another country as a missionary doesn't mean I'm off the hook as far as the mission goes, right? We are sent by God to live out this divinely appointed mission that we could only ever hope to accomplish if we keep our feet firmly planted on holy ground. So I want to close with one more verse this morning. It's tied to the ones that we've just been talking to, but if you just jump two verses ahead to Exodus 3:12, we see that God has drawn Moses through his burning bush moment. He has floored Moses by the recognition of God's holiness and Moses' own sinfulness, and now he has sent Moses on a mission, but look what happens next, verse 12. And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. How huge is that? God has just called Moses to do something that he could never possibly do on his own. But God says to him in the next breath, I will be with you. That's how you're going to get the job done. Not in your own strength. I'm going to be with you. You're going to be standing on holy ground, not just next to this bush, but wherever you go. Literally, there's going to be a pillar of cloud and fire making the journey with you. And so it's all going to be holy ground. Church, we have a God who goes with us. Whatever it is that you have been called by God to do, understand he is with you in that mission. In fact, he was working there long before you showed up, and he will be there long after you are gone. That is who our God is. He is at work all around us. It's holy ground. And so everything that I do in the church and in my community, I understand God is doing it with me. In fact, I'm joining him in what he is already doing. And we know this because after Jesus died, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven. And then what happened next? The next thing that happened was the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. The very Spirit of Christ came and dwelt in every believer who had trusted in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean, that the Spirit dwells in us? It means that God is literally with us everywhere that we go, every moment of our lives from that moment that we first trust in Jesus until the moment that we leave this earth to be with him in eternity. He is with us. And do you know what that means? It means that literally everywhere we go is holy ground. Everything that we do, we are doing it on holy ground because the Spirit dwells in us. This is holy ground. And so is this. And so is where you're sitting, right? That's the idea. It's this amazing reality. And when we catch this, when we realize this, every single aspect of our lives becomes important because we know that God is there working in us and around us and through us every single moment. And so I want to challenge you this morning right there where you sit. I'm not asking anybody to stand up or wave their hand or come down front or anything like this, but listen, have you forgotten that you were standing on holy ground? I mean, have you forgotten that in your everyday life? Have you lost the wonder of following Jesus? And I'm not saying we need to stay on that mountaintop experience and have those feels and vibes like for our whole life, right? But we have to remain in wonder that there's a God who created all of this, and he loves us, and he wants us. What an amazing thing. Have you gotten so good at certain aspects of your life that you've started just kind of doing it on your own, operating out of what you know and what's comfortable, and maybe you've stopped relying on God to show up in those places, and maybe as a result, you're missing the mission that God has in those places, right? I want to ask you this. Have you made peace with your sin this morning? Are there certain things that have just been a part of your life for so long that you're like, well, it's just part of the landscape now? I mean, God's still blessing my life in all these other ways, so he must be okay with it, right? Have you made peace with sin in your life? And maybe this morning God is calling you to fight again. Wow. He's really calling you to fight again. Have you been sent by God, but you're afraid to go? Even if it's just next door. Even if it's just to the person whose cubicle is next to yours at work. Have you been sent by God? And the answer is yes, but you're afraid to go. Remember that God himself goes with you and goes before you and will clean up after you if you don't get it exactly right. Right? He is there. Don't ever lose sight of this God who draws us and floors us and sends us, and most importantly, who goes with us. This is holy ground right here. Kutztown Park, right? But not just Kutztown Park. I'm talking about your place of work, your school, wherever it may be, the place that you hang out on Friday nights. It is all holy ground, because wherever you go, God is with you in the person of the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. And he has a mission for you to make disciples as you go. Now, I said at the beginning that God is calling you to be a disciple maker. And I also said that God has given you everything that you need in order to make that happen. Like Moses, God has given you a moment of wonder. Yes, as you think back of your spiritual journey, there was some burning bush moment in your life that caused you to come closer and say, I need to explore this thing. He's done that for you just as surely as he did it for Moses. He's given you a moment of understanding when you saw God's holiness and your sinfulness and it wrecked you. And you said, man, I need my life to be transformed. Jesus, change my life. He's given you a moment of purpose where he has sent you to go and make disciples. He has made you part of his mission. What an incredible thing that we get to be a part of the very mission that Jesus came to begin. But you know, there's one thing this morning that you actually have that Moses did not. And if you think about this, there's one thing that you have that Moses did not. You actually have a risen Savior. Moses was still looking at this as something off in the distance, a promise from God that would surely be kept. Moses had no doubt that it would happen. But for us, it's history. We have received this already. We have a risen Savior, and his Spirit dwells in us. Moses had a pillar of cloud and fire that he could look and say, that's God with us, right? We have God inside of us. What an incredible thought that he goes with us wherever we are, every moment of every day. So I want to challenge you this morning. Don't settle for an ordinary life where you just do the best you can in your own strength. Right? That's what most people will do. Just do their best in their own strength. But we literally have a God who goes with us wherever we are, every moment of every day. And so remember that you are literally standing on holy ground. The presence of God is with you everywhere that you go. And remember that he has appointed you to a mission to change the world through making disciples of Jesus Christ. You could never do this on your own. But the good news this morning is you're not on your own. You have a God who goes with you. This is holy ground. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the reality that is behind this message, Lord. This was not just about Moses. Rather, everything that Moses did was pointing to Christ. which means that it's a blueprint for us as we walk through this life also, Lord, pointing people to Christ just as Moses did. Lord, what an amazing thing that Moses pointed 1,500 years into the future. And here we are pointing 2,000 years into the past. And the one thing that we know, the one thing that we agree on completely, is that it is all about Jesus. It is all about what he has done. Lord, we thank you that that is the truth. And Lord, I pray this morning that whatever our hesitation may be, Lord, if it's a feeling that we ourselves don't measure up and we're not good enough and we can't be used, Lord, may we remember Moses felt the same way. And Lord, if we're here this morning and we're saying, well, I've just kind of fallen off the pace. I've stopped running and I've started walking and I'm really kind of slowing down in my walk with the Lord. God, I pray that this would be that spark of energy that we need, that reminder that we are not just doing this on our own, Lord, but that you are right there alongside of us. And in fact, even closer than that, you are in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and that changes everything. And so, Lord, I pray now that you would empower us to be your people. Lord, not seven churches to go out, but one body that represents one Lord and God who is over it all. Father, would you equip us to be making disciples in the name of Jesus? And if we do that, Lord, we are on the same team. God, I thank you for that. I thank you that we can come here and worship together today as brothers and sisters in Christ, not as seven churches, but Lord, as just the church of Northern Berks County this morning. And Lord, we know that you're at work far beyond this geographical region. You're doing so many things everywhere that we look. But Lord, I thank you that you choose us to have a role to play right here. May we do it for your glory, for your honor, and with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for allowing me the opportunity. It's always a privilege to open God's word. But right now, we're going to transition into a small group prayer time. And that may sound super scary to some of you. Don't worry. All right? Nobody's going to make you pray or anything like that. But we would like you now to kind of get into groups of like 3 to 5 people. You're going to have about 5 minutes. So it's super short. Probably not everybody's going to have an opportunity to pray. But what we would love for you to do is just, first of all, pray for one another, right? That you would live in the wonder and that you would live on mission, not afraid to be a disciple maker, but rather that you would be intrigued and say, Lord, show me how to do this. I want this for my life. If you haven't made a disciple ever in your life, maybe now's the time, right? First thing to do is just simply to talk to somebody and say, hi, my name is Drew. That's where it all begins. And God will set the wheels in motion, and you will quickly see if this is a person that God has put in your life, a discipleable person. And so that's where we begin. But if you've never done that, pray for one another, that God would give you those opportunities, and actually that we would be bold enough to take them when he puts them in our path. I don't think the problem most of the time is a lack of opportunity. I think it's that we either don't see the opportunity, or if we do, we're afraid to kind of take that step and go over there. So pray for one another. And just do that in your small groups right now. You got about 5 minutes, and then I believe the worship team is going to come back up and lead us in one closing song. So go ahead and get into groups of 4 or 5. I'm not going to tell you got to find people from other churches, but remember, we're one church.
a thousand generations falling down in worship to sing the song of angels. And all who've gone before us and all who will believe will sing the song of ages to the Lamb. Your name is the highest, your name is the greatest, your name stands above them all thrones and dominions, all powers and positions, your name stands above them all, and the angels cry, holy, all creation cries, holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy. Song forever to the Lamb. And if you walk in freedom, and if you bear His name, sing the song forever to the Lamb.
We'll sing the song forever and amen. And the angels cry,
you are lifted high, holy.
Amen. Y'all can have a seat.
Praise the Lord. Just a couple of words of announcements before we can release you this morning. First, we want to just point your attention to the back. There is a box for offerings. Now, we really don't care too much about that kind of thing at this gathering, but I understand that a lot of you have come and you're prepared to give and you'd like to give. If so, you can give in the box. A couple thoughts about that that'll help you. Anything that's not earmarked that we get in that box will be going to the table holders in the back, LC Medical. Many of us are supporters of that ministry. You're well familiar with it. Anything that's not earmarked to any particular church will end up going to LC Medical. If you want to give to your church, there's envelopes back there. You can mark them so that we know where to get them to. So if you've come prepared to give and you want to give, you can give. If you want to help out LC Medical and you weren't even planning on giving, you can do that as well. All in the back there. Also, we want to let you know that we're doing this again. I tell you, it was years and years ago when we first started doing this kind of thing, and to see the kind of response that this morning represents is, I tell you what, it's music to my ears. Thank you for coming out today. Now, the next meeting will be in August 23rd, right here in the same spot. The only difference really that will be in that particular meeting is that we're going to have lunch afterwards. I know you're... Now, I know our church likes to have lunch afterwards, so... anyhow, there will be lunch afterwards. We'll have a great time. Mark it on your calendars. Make sure you come on out. In the meantime, we have a special announcement, I think. Reba?
Well, not so special. I'm part of Grace Church. It is special. It's just not, yeah. I love this. This is like one of my favorite things that we do. We are all family, and I get very emotional. I'm so excited to see you all here. My announcement has to do with VBS at Grace Church. We are not a club. Grace Church is for everyone. Kutztown, we are Jesus's church. So we want to invite every single church that is here, bring your kiddos to our VBS. That doesn't start tomorrow, it starts next Monday. So bring your community, have your kids bring their friends, because our goal is to reach our community. And our mission at Grace Church is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, and that's what we want to do with our children as well. So we want to lead them into that growing relationship. So next Monday from 6 to 8, we will be having VBS at Grace Church on Main Street. And for Grace people, we are decorating next Sunday right after church. So you are not off the hook. We need to decorate for VBS. So thank you. Thank you.
Oh, praise the Lord. All right, let's pray. Father, it's been so good to be here together, and to know that you're here with us, that just makes it better. We thank you so much that you cause the glory of your face to shine upon us as we look to you. Moses had such a great experience, as we heard about from Drew. And we're grateful, Lord God, to know that it's in your heart to give us the kind of experience that we need to look to you, to be filled with wonder, to reach for understanding, to embrace, Lord God, mission. We pray, Lord God, that you'll help us to do all of those things. We would never do them in our own strength. We could never get them done on our own. But what we learned today is that you're with us. And more than just with us, you're in us. And that is sufficient. That is more than enough. That is, Lord God, something not only is enough, but it's something, Lord God, that we can rest our hearts in and knowing that we have that provision. You are with us. We pray, Lord God, that you'll go with us now as we depart from this place and help us to be those who are on mission. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.